All right. When you were at TU, what kind of artwork were you?
I met Glenn Godsey. That was what it took. I met Glenn Godsey, who was the painting teacher at TU. And I studied under Glenn for the rest of, at that point, all I had were painting courses to take. So I just painted for 2 years, and then graduated college, and I went into graduate school.
But so that was a fortuitous thing to meet Glenn.
Oh, my God, he calmed me down. He made me calm. He didn't teach. He let you evolve.
Slow down.
Well,
no?
And he would talk to me, and he understood me, and he understood. And I started painting flowers then. That's when I really, at OU, I had to paint abstracts. That's all they would teach.
And you didn't enjoy doing that.
Oh, I thought it was interesting, but I'd say, oh, God, that the best part of that painting just went down the drain. You know, I mean, it wasn't who I was. Right. I could make it. It's not that hard.
So here's a second professor, the one at the military academy, and now Glenn, shaping your life. Your
and
artistic.
He did.
Right. So you had a degree in what when you graduated?
Graphic design.
Graphic design. Why? How was that?
Well, because my dad insisted I know how to make a living.
Something.
Because he was worried that I was going to be starving to death in a cold water flat in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what year did you graduate?
1974.
And you were doing watercolor?
Only watercolor.
Only watercolor.
No oil painting. I'd already been an oil painter. Glenn Godsey taught the only watercolor course that I knew college level that received credit. And I wanted to paint in watercolor.
For the rest of your life?
Well, I thought, yeah.
Okay, then where does the oil come in?
Well, the oil comes in at a later period, but I still do watercolor. There's a watercolor over there. I started oil painting seriously after college, probably in the early 90s.
Okay, what led to that?
I wanted to do something bigger. Watercolor has a certain limitation in scale because of the materials, not because of the ideas. The largest watercolor I ever did was 60 by 80 inches, and it's on 2 sheets of paper. They don't make watercolor paper that big. So I would have to take big sheets of paper. Well, I wanted to do bigger paintings, and there was no bigger paper.
You enjoy both, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One over the other?
Oh, no.
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 So when you graduate from TU, then you say, all right, I'm setting up shop, and I'm going to be an artist now for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I could just damn near starve to death most of the time. We were hungry. There were summers that we'd only eat lettuce and tuna fish, and we didn't have much money. And
so you were trying to survive as an artist?
Oh, I just quit. When I didn't finish my master's, 3 hours short, who cares? I wanted to paint.
Your master's was in what?
Painting.
Okay, of course. So
under Glenn Godsey at TU.
All right, all right. And so then you said, well, I'm starving here. What should I do?
So I taught.
Okay, and you taught what and
I
where?
I taught painting, drawing at Philbrook, which I had been teaching. I got my first job. The first person I met in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when I came back here from TU in 72, first person I ever met in Tulsa was Marcia Manhart. I was going through her neighborhood knocking on doors to find a garage apartment. And I met her. She didn't have a garage apartment, but she was running the art school at Philbrook. I said, well, I'm going to go to TU and be a painting major. It was my first job. I'd never had a job before until Philbrook.
No.
So I started teaching there, been in 74.
And any other place?
Oh, yeah, TJC. Claremore Junior College. I wouldn't work
Tulsa,
any place.
Tulsa Junior
College. Tulsa Junior College. Claremore Junior College.
Oh, both. Both places? Oh, I'm sorry.
I wouldn't teach any place full time because I was terrified of becoming addicted to a paycheck. I didn't want to be a teacher. I was a good teacher. I taught Joando. I taught hundreds and hundreds of students, many of which are still painting today. But they also all started painting like me. I hated that. Go make your own image. Don't take from me. That's my experience. You go make whatever yours is, great, go do it.
Did any of them go on painting like you and made money on it?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I had several good students.
So then how long do you have to work to support
your
painting?
I only worked part-time. Oh my God, I stopped, well, from college on. From 1974 on.
Seven.
I made my living from painting.
Oh, so that was after?
After I graduated.
But at Tulsa Junior College in Philbrook, then it was a time when you didn't need that income.
Yeah, I quit when Emily, I have one child, daughter, Emily Gordon. Her mother was pregnant, and I said, oh, well, I better tell you, I quit down at TJC today. She didn't work.
Yeah.
It was just me.
And so it worked out. You started selling? I mean,
The way I started selling, people would come and they'd look and they wouldn't buy. And I thought, these are nice paintings. And they were only $100. And they wouldn't buy them. I thought, why? These are 22 by 30 inch watercolors.
Of flowers?
Of flowers, of still life. And nobody would buy them. And I thought, oh, this is awful.
Where were they displayed? Where would
One time I did a show at what used to be called Lou Boyle's.
Yeah.
Do you remember Lou Boyle's? Yeah. Out in 41st and Yale. Yeah. They had windows and down in the bottom of the mall, and I would put my paintings up in there. And I did sell one to Daryl Royal, the coach from that space.
Texas coach?
Texas coach Daryl Royal bought, he and his wife bought a painting I had out there. That was funny. I'd forgotten that.
So you have...
So I just had them, and somebody would say, oh, I taught for the Arts and Humanities Council, and I worked with the Junior League teaching, doing art projects in the public school systems. And then after you would get through with that teaching assignment, then all the Junior League girls would go over and have Bloody Marys at somebody's house. And so I got to meet all these Junior Leaguers from teaching. And slowly but surely, one would say, I'd like to come see your paintings and see what you make and blah, blah, blah. And they'd come in and they'd see 10 or 12 paintings and it'd be $100. And they'd say, no, thank you. I'd say, okay, great. Then one day I thought, you know, I am so tired of being turned down at $100. So the next woman who came in, I thought, I'm going to jack the price on these. Because the reality was, I'd be much happier being rejected at $500 than I would be to be rejected at $100.
Perfect.
So the next woman who walked in, Marcia Manhart brought her in, said, I think you ought to look at his painting. And this woman said, how much is this one? Looking down her nose at me. And I said, ma'am, that painting is $500. She said, I'll take it.
Wow.
And I looked at her and said, okay, it's yours. And afterwards I thought, huh, I get it. Too cheap means something's wrong. And from that point on, you raised my prices.
You knew how to price things, didn't you?
But it took me that. I just couldn't stand being turned down for these beautiful paintings at $100.
There's interesting psychology in that, isn't there?
Fascinating.
Oh, the price. This must be worth something.
Yeah. And I tell many students, many people who come to me for art advice, I look at them and I say, you could be priced too cheap. And then there are those who shouldn't be priced as high as they are, but that's not my business.
But you're lucky you decided to go high. Somebody else might have said, well, I'll cut my price to $75.
Oh, but they're not taking it at $100. I just send them not take it at $500.
Right.
And interestingly enough, that painting came back to me. The woman who bought it died. And her mother, who she and I sat on the board at Philbrook together, had the painting delivered to me and said, I think Judy would want you to have this back. And I think it's interesting it came back to me because it really was the first time that the eureka light went on since I was 12. I really can do this.
Yeah. And it really was your painting.
And it was.
When you paint and sell, it still is your painting.
Oh, always.
In your emotional, in your mind, right.